again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you in that name that is above every other name, at the name of Jesus. Every knee bows, every tongue confesses, because He indeed is Lord. He is Lord over all, and in Him we live and move and have our being. And, you know, I do have to make a small apology to you guys. I know I'm a little bit late in getting this word out. You know, I'm usually pretty quick to respond when God puts something on my heart to start speaking, but I delayed, so you'll get this a little bit later, if and when this goes up. But, yeah, you know, I think just one thing I've always tried to cultivate in myself, and I encourage other people to do as well in your own walk with Christ, is when God quickens you to respond to how He quickens you and to move forward with that, because that's part of our individual personal relationships with Him. Because He knows where He wants His body to be, what He wants the different pieces in the body to be doing. And so for us, you know, we all have been given assignments and callings and different things that are necessary for what He's in planning and intending to happen in the earth, and for us to be part of His will being done in the earth at such a time as this. So it's important to, when God quickens you to respond, you know, whatever that may be, whether that is for you to go somewhere, for you to do something, for you to give something, for you to pray a particular way, for you not to engage in something, for you to step away from something, for you to cut off certain ties, whatever it might be. And so, you know, however He quickens you, whether He's moving you forward and expanding what you're doing, whether He's pulling you back and withdrawing you from being a part of something that you may have been around or exposed to, whatever it may be, that one of the keys, and we've talked about this before, is your success as a follower of Christ is in the moment in obedience. Because we are eternal beings, so as an eternal being, you know, your success is in the obedience. And in this moment right now, you can be facing with your spiritual being can be facing God with your heart, your mind, your whole volition of your entire being directed towards Him. So that is all the different aspects of who you are. And again, what's the first and greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So basically, your entire being is directed towards and focused on Him. And in that process of that focus and that surrendering of your entire being to Him, then from that overflow comes your direction, your purpose, your assignments, your fulfillment, everything that's necessary for you while you're in the earth. So that's part of what is the overflow. And so then that's why you have the second commandment after the first. The second is to love your neighbor as yourself. And where does that love to our neighbor come from? Well, it flows from the first. So you get the first, you fulfill the first, and the flow and the overflow of that connection that we have with the Father is an overflow of love towards those that's your neighbor. And so with that, That's just kind of how we carry on and go about our time in the earth. It's part of how we live. Because a lot of times, you know, people talk all kinds of stuff, but they don't really give you stuff that is going to help you in your time and in your life in the earth. So for us, there's an important piece of being quick to respond when the Spirit of God nudges you, when He quickens you. You want to respond quickly as well. You know, once you know for yourself and in the core of your being, yes, this is God, you want to respond quickly. And so that's why I apologize, you know, and hopefully this is a teachable moment as well. But I apologize that I'm a bit late on this because, you know, you want to be in step with God. You want to be to quickly respond when the Spirit of God has for you to do something, because so often there are these amazing little things that take place when you are in step with God. I mean, it can be everything as subtle as somebody that you just meet in passing, or something that you go to bat in prayer over something at a time when somebody anywhere around the world is in need of that prayer, and God has you petition in the realm of the Spirit, and it makes a difference and it makes a change. I know there's people that have prayed for me in crucial times in my own walk in relationship with Christ and my own journey through this world, and those prayers have oftentimes made a massive difference in my ability to come to the other side of an experience and to walk out and walk through and out of something that, you know, without those prayers, I don't know what would have happened. But I know because certain people, you know, have prayed in certain key times as well, that that made a big difference. And likewise, too, I know what I've been quickened to pray for certain people. And, you know, sometimes it's things that they've asked for. Sometimes it's just that God says, you need to pray for this person. And I know that later on, when subsequently, you know, it can be even years later, but, you know, if it was something that was impressed very strongly and you start talking to that person a bit about what was going on in that time, and they will even share, and they'll be like, you know, wow, this was what was going on, and thank God for that. And so, you know, we are a body of Christ. And the thing about being part of that body is you and I receive what we need and our direction and our quickening from the head, who is Christ. Not from a man, not from a woman, not from somebody else. Your relationship with the Father has been created and given to you by Christ Jesus, who is the gate, who is our exit out of also this slavery system, this prison planet, this holding tank for souls, that the door, the gate has been made open, and the way has been made for us to exit with Christ and through Christ. So there's no, Jesus said it. So if you're going to claim Jesus, if you're going to subscribe to anything that he ever said, well, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So that's it. The only way that you get to the Father is through Christ. And without Christ Jesus, you don't get to the Father. Period. It just doesn't work. That doesn't happen. So I share this out of my own walk, my own experience, my own journey, and, you know, the truth of what that has been in my own relationship with my Creator, and how I've walked through this life and had my ups and downs, had, you know, as far as the natural circumstances of life, tremendous experiences and highs and lows and everything in between. And that's going to be part of the journey. But the difference between having a journey like that and coming to the other side of all of that with fulfillment and with peace and with clarity and still being in being able to be one that tends my own soul under the direction of the Father is a beautiful thing. I didn't have to go the way of the world to do the things that God has for me to do. And I'm under no illusion of what the trap and the snare is that the world that we live in sets for all of our feet and all of our minds to try to ensnare us into that system to keep a soul from leaving this life, from leaving this world, from leaving this prison, which requires your consent, by the way. So you need to, if you're going to be tethered into this place, you've got to be part of it. And you've got to give that free will, because that's how they harvest that which is in you, which is incredibly valuable, beyond the value of anything in this world, just in one human soul. That's why Jesus said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? In that also revealing that the value of your soul is more than everything that the world has and everything the world could ever offer you. And that's just the value of one. Now Jesus, in what was done on the cross, the way was made for the redemption of the entire world. So the blood is sufficient to pay that price. But, again, it's a gift. And unless people receive that which God has given them, if you turn your back on it, well, okay, that's your choice. So, this is also why the enemy works so hard to, if one is getting away, to bring them back, to enslave them back in, to try to browbeat them back in, to try to seduce them back in, to try to bludgeon them back in, to try to oppress them back in, whatever it takes. And this is why the offers get bigger and bigger and bigger, because here's the thing. Even if the world system offers you $1 billion to bow your knee to that system, and if you take it, well, now that soul has been recaptured, and you go back into that thing. So you never get out, and then they just recycle all of that back into it. So that soul has been captured. This is why when Jesus was offered by the enemy, by the devil in Luke chapter 4, all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor, that in that offer, the end result of that would have been, okay, Jesus is part and parcel of it too, if you would have gone that way. A limited time offer that was made, you know, eternal ramifications. But, you know, a lot of people have gone that way. Now, Jesus set the stage and made it clear. You know, thou shalt, you know, get behind me, Satan. Thou shalt worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. He's never going to go that way. And the follower of Christ never goes that way. Now, does that mean that the follower of Christ never has any natural success? Absolutely not. Does that mean that the follower of Christ is reduced to poverty? Absolutely not. Does that mean that the follower of Christ, that health and wealth are indicators of God's favor? That not too either. The indicator for you and for everybody is, are you in connection with the Father? Period. Do you know him? Are you consummated with the Spirit of God? And once you have that connection, the Spirit of God will resonate in you when you meet a brother or sister in Christ. And that resonance that happens there, this is your brother, this is your sister, and you go forward with that. And each soul has its own journey. Each soul has its own thing that it needs to go through. This is where it gets interesting. Because this is where, you know, some people can be, like, all right, Joseph had to go through a particular journey. 17, he had to go get sold into slavery. You know, part of God's design, mind you, part of God's purpose, because in what happened with Joseph, he ended up being taken into Egypt, and then from that place, going through the temptation with Potiphar's wife and all the other points that he had where he could have just sold out and just gone the easy way, but instead he held on to his convictions, and he went from, in the natural situation, bad to worse. Now, in a lot of the prosperity gospel churches, they would say there's something wrong with his faith because he's not healthy and wealthy, because his natural circumstances were such. But you got to know your God to know that in the midst of whatever your situation is, to have that peace that passes all understanding, that guards your hearts. Jesus said, I give this to you. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I don't give you like the world gives you. So that peace will guard your heart where you can be in turbulent situations, but you know that you're in step with the Spirit of the living God. And Joseph had the peace that passes all understanding. Even though he was spitefully treated, horribly abused in all of his entire experience, and yet there came that moment where, in God's time and in God's design, that God elevated him very quickly. Now, was the world system happy that Joseph was brought up to be the governor of Egypt? Absolutely not. But Joseph moved up because it was God's design, and also in the natural, God had blessed him with a skill set that there was nowhere else they could find it. What did Pharaoh say? He said, you know, where else? You know, who, you know, because we need to have a governor here. Who else has this spirit inside of them that, you know, this guy knows what to do? So Pharaoh knew that Joseph was the man for the job. And if he could have put somebody else in charge of what needed to be done at that time, he would have. Because he probably did not want to have to have Joseph doing the job. But at the same time, his nation was facing destruction through 7 years of famine. And Joseph clearly had a solution. So he put the guy in charge. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had 10 times the wisdom of anybody else in Nebuchadnezzar's court. So, of course, in the end, they wanted them close. They, despite the fact that what was in them despised the Spirit of God, because those that are on the side of the world, they don't... remember what happened with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they refused to bow down to the statue that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So it's there. That thing was in him to want to destroy them. He wanted to give them a way out, because you got to play ball with the world, but they refused to. So then he just went nuts and he wanted to destroy them. Now, at the same time, the children of God are the ones on the earth with the solution. The children of God are the ones that walk on this planet with life flowing through them, because we are connected to the source of life, who is Christ Jesus. We are connected, engrafted into the vine. Jesus said it himself, anyone that doesn't remain in him and his words in them, they're like a branch that's broken off, that just withering away and dying, and is just thrown into the fire later on and burned. That's why the worlders look so haggard. And there's nothing in them. There's no life in them. They're just withering up and dying. Miserable existences. Whereas the child of God is connected to life. And life flows through that being. Life flows through that person in their existence and in their time in the earth. Now, in the midst of that, this is important to understand that God wants you to have wisdom, knowledge, understanding. The book of Proverbs was given to us so that we would attain and move forward in some wisdom, in some knowledge, and some understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously without finding fault. You need also knowledge that comes from God so that you can live in this time in the earth, because my people perish for lack of knowledge. They don't know. So we come into this world And we get kicked around by the world and the world system because you are marked for God, and they try to oppress you, they try to seduce you, they try to bring you into their thing, they try to get your consent, and they try to scalp your soul. And God doesn't, he's saying, look, if you knew, you need to know what's going on while you're here. And that's why they work so hard to keep the truth from you. Because if you knew, then you would also know how to walk through in this time in the earth. You would know how to navigate while you're here. You would know how to take certain steps. So you would, for example, I'll give you a simple one. So for example, in the scriptures it says that the borrower is servant to the lender. So with something like that, it's just a very simple proverb, and you see that manifest out in huge ways in the world that we live in right now. So the borrower is servant to the lender. And yet, what does the world do? The world seeks to get the individual, the town, the community, the family, the city, the state, the nation in debt. Because by getting people in debt, they can now enslave that person. Because the borrower is servant to the lender. And once they're on that ride, they don't get off. And they want to keep them in there so they can bleed their efforts for the rest of their life. The value that they create, that they can just live off of that value that's created by that person. Because they're constantly not ever paying off that principal, but always just paying down a little bit of that interest. Because they want to keep you and stretch that out for a long, long period of time. As a nation, they never want a nation out of debt, because they can always keep that nation as their servant if they can keep that nation in debt. The borrower is servant to the lender. So if you know this, if you know this simple truth, then what you will do as an individual is you will, even as scriptures have admonished us, let us have no debt but the debt of love to one another. So instead of being and playing the way the world plays, you would learn to stay out of that trap. You would do that as an individual, for sure. As an individual, you would just say, okay, I realize that as an individual, if I can avoid as much as possible, because I realize that there's implications. So, you know, being debt-free makes a big difference. It makes a difference to your mind. It makes a difference to the kind of things that you can do. It kind of makes it makes a difference in your mobility. It makes a difference in your obligations and your responsibilities. So, you know, but my people perish for lack of knowledge. They don't know. So instead, you know, they go into college, and they sign up for a credit card with, you know, a $600 limit on it, and they get a bag of M&Ms or a t-shirt when they go sign up for that card, and they go, and then they start running that up, and then they're paying that interest for years. By the time they get done paying that $600 limit card off, they ran up, and then they just had to start paying it off. They end up paying $1,200, $1,300, $1,400, $1,500, or much more. So people don't understand, and because they don't understand, they're destroyed. Their lives are destroyed. Their resources are destroyed. Their skills are wasted. They're put into holding tanks, because the world does that. Now, here's the thing. God will lead and direct you, and this is where it's important to follow the quickening of the Holy Spirit. Because there's a lot of times where some things may seem good on the surface, but in the end, it's a trap. In the end, it's a snare for your soul. In the end, it's something that is not going to take you in a good way. So you have to listen to the Spirit of God. You have to let Him lead and direct you. And also at the same time, too, there's sometimes where there's things that man creates, a form of godliness, but denies the power thereof. And that is so much of what I've seen in religion, dead works, which Christ Jesus redeemed us from as well. There's so many dead works out there. And when Jesus showed up on the scene, He just messed with them on their dead works. Oh, I can't heal on the Sabbath? Well, watch me. Oh, pick up your mat and walk. You know, oh, I mean, he just kept just doing things left, right, center, all over the place that messed with their religious paradigms. Because they wanted to keep a lock on the people. They wanted to keep control on the people. And Jesus was like, nope, that's not the way that it is. This is about a true living relationship with your Heavenly Father. And He's going to lead and direct you. If there's something that He has for you to observe, then He will have you observe it. And He will show you and quicken you in that. So, just know that that's there. And know that that's there for you. And if you're true to your relationship with the Father, then you will know what you need to do and when you need to do it. And if you're not true to it, then you can try to dress it up all these other ways. And you can wear your fancy clothes and go on Sunday and get the seat in the front row and do all of that. And you're a castaway. You've been thrown away. Because it's not based on truth. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. If you're going to align with Him, if you're going to be one with Him, you become one with truth. And if you're one with truth, then there's nothing else that can exist in that. You cannot merge a lie with the truth and it remain true. It doesn't work like that. Truth remains true. So if you're going to merge with Christ, if you're going to be one with Him, then you merge with that which is real. And you are the one that comes into alignment with Him because He is the sovereign. So He is the king. There's a king with a dumb. That's where the kingdom of God comes from. King with dominion. So He is the king. You come in as a subject to the king. You bow your knee before the king. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. And now you align yourself with truth. Because that king is the king of truth. So in order for you to remain in Him and His words remain in you, you have to remain in truth. And the truth needs to remain in you. And if you go out with the lie, then you depart from truth. And if you depart from truth, then you are no longer in the truth. It's not that complicated. Now, we can go through seasons and times where we may have been deceived by something or tricked by something. And in those cases, what happens is that when you learn and God reveals something to you, because the Spirit of God is in you and you want to align with truth, you go through a correction, you repent, and you get right with God and you go forward in truth. So it's easy because it's just like, okay, I don't have a dog in this fight. I am a committed servant of the living God, committed to truth. So if I've been off on something, Lord God, forgive me and help me and quicken me to align myself with truth so that I can walk in it. And if you let go of, this is where you shed your spiritual baggage, your religious baggage, your racial baggage, your socioeconomic baggage, your all these other things. What does Scripture say? Cast aside every weight and the sin which so easily entangles, and run the race that God set for you. We run the race. We cast aside every weight. Here's the thing about a weight. In Hebrews 12, by the way, is what we're talking from. The thing about a weight is the second that you leave it, it's going to sit there forever until somebody else moves that weight. Until somebody else decides to pick it up and lug it around. If you leave a weight, it's just going to sit right there and you're going to carry on. The only way that a weight has any movement or any momentum at all is if somebody chooses to pick it up and carry it and take it forward. So if you want somebody, so somebody's got to pick up the weight of racial division in order for it to move forward. Somebody's got to pick up the weight of hatred to move that forward. Somebody's got to pick it up and carry it and move it. And in that process too, they make their soul sluggish and they move heavy and just restrained. Or you can cast aside every weight and you can run the race. Light. Quickened by the Spirit of God. Free. Smile on your face. Spring in your step. the life of God Himself flowing through you. Why not? Why are you going to hold on to something here? For what? Cast aside every weight and the sin which so easily entangles. It's incredible. You know, here, since we referred this a couple times, let me grab this here. All right. If you got your Bibles, yeah, I know. All right. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore are all our partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. And I'm going to read a little bit more. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of our spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastising for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and be burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned and thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the innumerable company of angels, and to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that sprinkleth better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not, who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Amen. Well, praise God. Praise God for his word. And praise God for also just the admonition that we have. You know, when God takes us through, he's doing something with us. When God takes us through, and when he corrects us, and when he quickens us, and when some things need to take place inside of us because of what's going on with you as an individual, and also what's going on with me as an individual, he knows what's necessary for us to be what he made us to be. So Moses' journey was 40 years as a prince, and then 40 years in the desert, and then carrying on and leading the children of Israel for 40 years through the Exodus, and then into, you know, and then in the wilderness. All of that being part of also God's working with and through Moses. Joseph, on the other hand, had his route. So 17 years, 13 years. So 17 years in his father's house, 13 years in captivity, 80 years as the governor of Egypt. Daniel, right away, was at 16, moved forward into position. So after 3 years of training at 19, he was right there. And he lived through the reign of four different kings. So each person has their own way that God will take them. These are just three examples. And you look through the scriptures, so many different variations and so many different ways. Understand the principle. Don't try to look to see, okay, this one right here, and so this is it, and this is how God always works, and this is the way. No! God's not going to be isolated into your little box. You may understand some things about him, but it is a real life, dynamic, living relationship with him that's going right now. And that's what you need to connect with. And out of that, he will shape and function and fashion your own personal walk and relationship with him. And even if there's something in the word that you need to know, he's going to quicken you with that word. But it's not going to be you figuring it all out in your head. No. It's going to be you walking with him in the Spirit and him leading and guiding you moment by moment through your journey in this life. And you being in step with him and surrendering to that process, also knowing that God is chastening you, quickening you. It's showing you so that you can run a good race. Now, here's the thing. If you want to run this race and you want to carry baggage the whole time, you can do that. If you want to, you can do that. You're not going to run very fast. You're probably going to hurt yourself trying to carry something that you don't need to be carrying. Or you can run free because you've been given that option. See, the power has been put in you to cast aside every weight. That's the thing. You don't have to be... See, a slave has to carry the weight that he's given or she's given to carry. A slave has no option. So when you are a slave in the world system, you have to carry what they tell you to carry. A freed man or a freed woman, you can say, I don't think I want to carry that. Nope, I'm not going to do that. Because I've been given that option. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We take his yoke freely. We free of our free will, we submit ourselves voluntarily to the dominion of the King of Kings. And we take his yoke upon us, which his yoke is easy and his burden is light. It fits well. It's designed for you. You know, here's one thing with yoking and saddling and all those kind of things with animals. If it doesn't fit well, it's going to be very painful for that animal. Just like if you've ever had a pair of shoes and they don't fit well, and you've tried to do something very strenuous with your feet, and you know the damage that can happen to your feet as a result of shoes that don't fit well. I one time didn't have a certain pair of shoes for a place that I went, and I was given a pair of shoes for that activity to use, and I used them, and I ended up losing a couple toenails because my feet smashed so much into the front of that shoe that, you know, through the course of that activity that, you know, took a while for those toenails to grow back. I mean, that was just, it didn't fit. So when Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, so the yoke that he gives us, it's custom made for you. And it is something that you can carry, and you can carry it well. And all of it is functional for your time in the earth. You know, I've got a good friend who's a triathlete, and I've seen triathlons over a number of years. I used to do them a long time ago. You know, when I was a teenager, I tried a few, and you know, and I've been on the course for triathlons before, when been involved with some of them for just making sure that they run well and stuff, and with some other businesses I've been involved with, and it's amazing the equipment that these guys carry, the kind of stuff, the kind of literally, you know, coming down to ounces and grams of weight of what they will reduce because of how far they're going to travel. And they want to carry less, but all of it needs to be functional. And even the kind of materials that they use to make sure that they can get the maximum utility with the least amount of weight to carry. And when Jesus speaks to us, and he says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, for I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. With Christ Jesus, that which he gives you to carry fits perfectly. It's made, custom made for you. And his burden is light. Everything that God will have for you to carry, that he will have for you to carry, is everything that you need for this journey. I'll say that again. Everything that God will have for you to carry, it's going to be everything that you're going to need for this journey. It's going to fit perfectly, and it's going to be just what you need. So Moses, what was his burden? His burden was a stick. That was all he had to carry. That was all that God had required him to carry when he would go in to liberate the children of Israel. 80-year-old man with a stick. But it's exactly what he needed. It's exactly what he needed for the job. It's exactly what he needed to challenge the magicians that Pharaoh had in his court. It was exactly what he needed to split the Red Sea. It was exactly what he needed to do so many different things throughout the time and the scope of his assignment that was given by God. But it was exactly what he needed. It was functional. It was in line with what was necessary. So, this is part of what it is to be free. This is part of what it is to walk out. So, Get rid of the things that don't need to be there in your life. There's a lot of stuff that God's already given you the power to just drop and to let go and to be healed from. In Jesus' name, be healed. There's a lot of things that power has been given unto you. So persist. Ask God. Bring it before Him. Seek His face. Because you want to run the race. And you want what He has for you. You don't want what the world... Oh, the world is just... The world is a horrible, horrible slave master. And it cares nothing for those that slave in that system. Because you're a commodity in that system. It doesn't care if your yoke fits well in that system. Are you kidding me? Like, you're building bricks for Pharaoh. In fact, in the day that age that we live in right now, a lot of times people are scrambling around trying to find straw to make their own bricks. Because the world doesn't even give them that anymore. It's getting very lean out there. But God takes care of His people. God will quicken you. God will show you. He will direct you. This is, again, why you need to be in step. Because if you're in step, you're going to be in the right place for the provision, the protection, the direction, the assignment that God has for you. So it's necessary. It's necessary that you listen. It's necessary that you obey. It's necessary that you, when God quickens, that you respond. And in that process, there's going to be your fulfillment as well. Now, we've learned in our journey because we go from glory to glory and strength to strength. We were in a fog when we first got here. So all of us were in that. But the fastest way, if you want to know what's the quickest way to go through, to go through this whole thing, the fastest way is complete and total surrender unto God, unto His Holy Spirit, unto who He is. Just your entire being just put in there. Nothing left behind. All that you are in that. And just give 100% of yourself over to Him. And let it be what it is. And let Him lead and direct and guide your life. Responding to the call. And no one comes to the Father unless the Spirit of God draws him. So God's got to draw you. But when He draws you, and, you know, when He does, then you give yourself wholly over to that. And you don't look back at all. You just go all in. That, my friends, is the fastest way through. So you don't need to carry stuff. Why? Why carry things that are unnecessary in that? Why hold on to things? Why delay that progress that you can have with Him? Instead, go all in, and then in that process, embrace the journey. And whenever you have a struggle, by all means, take it before the King. If you've got an area that you've got a question, by all means, take it before Him. But let go of your man-made, preconceived ideas of this needs to be this and that needs to be that in order for me to be okay. No, bring it before the Father. And even as Jesus, when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So even Jesus, in the midst of what He was going to go through, He brought it before the Father in His own struggle. And He knew where He was at in His emotional, mental, and His entire state. But He also cleared it up very quickly after He brought it before the throne of God. And He said, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Bring what you've got going on with you before the Father. If you're struggling with something, by all means, talk to your Father about it. You're in relationship with Him. Open up your heart and let there be communication. Bring it before God. Be real with Him. My gosh, how much damage has been done to us by religions. Dead religions that separate us and seek to keep us separate from our Creator. Forget all of that. That's a dead weight. That's, again, one of those dead weights. You got to drop it. Open up your heart and let there be communication between you and your Father. You were made for that. Why would you stop at anything less? And know that God loves you. We love you guys too. And we pray for you guys. We pray. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Father, I just pray right now for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray for them that listen in. Lord, we pray, Lord, right now that you would just bless each and every one of us, Father. Keep us on that track. Quicken us, Father, to the things that we should just let go of that have no bearing on nothing that we should be carrying at all. Let us just let those weights go and drop those things right now. And Father, we come unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith, and we take upon ourselves, Lord, that Lord, you said your yoke is easy and your burden is light. So we receive from you your yoke and your burden. And Father, we know that it fits well and is exactly what we need for the journey. And Lord, we leave all else behind, and as your Spirit quickens us and you take us in that direction, Father, we are grateful for that. Lord, in Jesus' name, be with us. Quicken us in the time that we live, Lord God. We pray for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We know that you give it to all those that ask of you, Father, generously without finding fault. So we ask. And Father, I ask, Lord, on behalf of my brothers and sisters in Christ, that you would quicken them with wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Quicken me, Father God. Quicken my brothers and sisters all over the world, Lord. Those that minister side by side with us, Father. Those that are in this fight, Father. All of us that have been brought here and positioned here by you, Lord, we pray that you would quicken us, Father. Keep us, Lord God, always ahead of the tricks and the snares of the enemy. Keep us always, Lord God, in the light. Lord God, continue to reveal and to expose and to make plain everything that's done in the darkness, Lord. Let it just, the light shine brighter and brighter each and every moment of each and every day. And Lord, we go forward with you from glory to glory and from strength to strength with grateful hearts, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Lord, we just pray, Father, too, for all that have needs and all that have things on their hearts and their minds, Lord God, as they continue to look to you, Father, that they would find relief, that they would find rest, that they would find answers, Lord God, and that they would find, Father, and have good success, both before you, Lord God, and whenever possible, Father, in the eyes of men and women, Lord God, even as we are, Lord, we know that you are glorified, Father, when we walk out this life according to your plan and purpose. So, Lord, strengthen us, Father, and continue, Lord, to bless our ability, Father, and the work of our hands and the thoughts of our minds. We trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. We love you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. You can say hi there. And yeah, we'll keep on keeping on. We'll talk to you soon. All right. Bye.